Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are out and about on the road. We are just down Half Street, about four blocks from our studios at Nationals Park in the left field concourse, sections 106 and 107, ahead of Nat's matinee business boy and girl special baseball today at 4:05 D.C. time, 2 hours from right now. We'll be here when you come inside the ballpark. So if you're coming to the game, please come say hello to your pals, Grant and Danny. We're giving away tickets to see the D.C. Defenders in their home opener on Sunday across South Capitol Street from where we're sitting right now, downtown here at Audi Field. Daniel, how are you?
What do you say, brother? It is gorgeous right here. We're amongst the, are these cherry blossoms or cherry trees? I don't know. But the floral, you know, sort of background to my left and my right is nice. The boys are taking batting practice right behind me.
I don't know much about
it's a hoot
D.C. compared to you in terms of, like, roads and which way they go.
Uh-huh.
Which ones go in which direction. I know very well that these are cherry blossoms. This is the whole point of all the traffic. Mm. This is the thing that everyone over talks about.
Yep.
They're all over the outfield. They look beautiful. You could put them on a postcard. They're gorgeous. And batting practice was successful. I can tell you Lane Thomas hit a bunch of bombs.
Sure did.
They were flying right our way here in the red box.
Well, a nice little short hop to the shins a couple times, some 400 feet away from the home dish. But, yeah, that's a big weakness of mine. I'll fully cop to that. My wife is, I wouldn't say she's a horticulturist, realist. I wouldn't say she's an expert, but she's way further advanced than I am in terms of, like, that's a peony, that's a rose, that's a daffodil. I don't know any of them, and I can't learn them. Like, I'd like to, but I don't know what anything is.
Well, then this will be lost on you.
Go.
But my wife is huge into flowers.
Yeah.
Huge. To the point where she helped do the flowers for our wedding and mm-hmm. has done flowers for other people's weddings. And I'll go one step further. She's doing flowers for the school fundraiser that we have coming up. Mm-hmm. Like, she is all in. She would be a florist if she could, probably.
Right.
She constantly has flowers at our house. A lot of them I give her. Sometimes
sure.
she just goes and gets them.
Yeah.
That's how I know I probably didn't give her enough. She just goes. It's a Wednesday. She wants flowers. She goes and gets them. I hate the smell of lilies. Do you know about lilies?
No.
Which one's lost on you.
Yeah.
I wanted some return. Oh, I agree with you, kind of.
I'll agree with you right now.
Lilies rick me. We always have them in the kitchen, and the smell, I don't want to say turns my stomach, but it's close. What's the odor?
Can you describe it in some way?
No, I can't do
that.
Is
it like pungent? Are we in a swamp right now? What is it?
It just smells very plant-like.
It's strong.
And live and fresh. And just to me, it feels like if you walk into a florist and then you turn the smell up to 11. But it's basically your entire
kitchen. Just too much, is what you're saying. It's
like
overwhelming.
It. But the other thing she does that I don't – it's not as annoying to me because there's no smell.
Okay.
She's big into watching birds. She knows all the types of birds in the backyard all the time. She'll text me when we get a, you know, blue jay or a
Oriole. That's a crescent something or other. I'm
right.
Like, how does anyone know anything?
There's a titmouse, I think, somewhere in there, something like that.
Totally.
Yeah, but she's big into knowing the birds.
I find that fascinating because here's the thing that I always say, and nobody agrees with me on this, but I'm so correct. So I could just be crazy, I suppose. The picture, for example, if I looked up, this will be a bad example, but if I look up what a cardinal looks like, there'll be a picture of a cardinal in a book.
You'll see Albert Pujols.
Yeah, right? Like I'll see, you know, like Kyler Murray.
Yadier Molina will be right there.
Yeah.
next to
Adam Wainwright,
Cliff Kingsbury,
like Ray Lankford is there. Right. But like I'll see, like this is a terrible example because the Cardinals red, but you know what I mean. Like I don't know any other birds. A swallow, call it a swallow. Like, this is what a swallow looks like, and I'll see a bird that looks nothing like it. It looks nothing like the picture on the internet or the book, and there's a million different things.
And
that are
people will swear that that's what.
And
it
they
is.
Go, it's a swallow. It's like no, this is what a swallow looks like. No, it's seen because you can see it from the crest on the lower wing. And I'm like, no. It doesn't look like the picture.
It's also a sneaky thing where birds in real life don't actually look like what you're expecting them to look like.
This is a point.
So
yes.
In other words, like I think a Baltimore Oriole is very orange.
Like you think it's Gunnar Henderson.
An Oriole is not Grayson Rodriguez.
Right.
An Oriole is more yellow in the wild. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of this? They're
no.
almost like black and yellow more
true?
So than orange. Yes.
So they're like Steelers more so than Ryan Mountcastles?
A little bit. It's more of a Roethlisberger in tone.
Wow.
The other one I'll give you is I think it's a Blue Jay. Because when you think Blue Jay, you think Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Think Bo Bichette.
Right, maybe Kevin Biggio.
Yep.
It's not actually that way, though. I mean, they're blue for sure. But they're not like that very royal, beautiful blue mm-hmm. that you know, would be worn by Cito Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about kind of a darker blue. So it's just like sports have kind of ruined my eyesight on what these things are supposed to look like. Like I'm looking for the cartoon Oriole bird in my
yeah.
yard, and that's not really what a bird, an
like,
Oriole looks like.
Like if someone's like, there's a Blue Jay, I'm like, that doesn't look like Joe Carter winning the World Series. No,
it's
wrong.
Not the same.
Nope.
It's going to be a good day, though, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot going on in D.C. sports. You got the Nats matinee against the Pirates. Looking for a series win today.
Here we go.
Anybody got a series win?
A series win.
Want to take out of their pocket. So that's good. That'd be nice.
I would like it.
Additionally, we got a big hockey game in Washington, D.C.
There's a hockey match tonight.
One of those days that I like a whole lot, where if the Caps win, they almost certainly are going to make the playoffs. But if they lose, they're in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
But here's the better part. Here's the double whammy.
Okay.
A regulation victory tonight over the arch rival Pittsburgh Penguins. And Pittsburgh's playoff chances are almost completely cooked.
Would be a real shame if that happened.
Can you imagine the double whammy
yeah.
of a regulation win where the Caps are on to the postseason and Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are leaving Capital One Arena knowing all of their work this season has been for naught?
Conversely, can you imagine the wiffle bat two times to the right and propers, to the biscuits and gravy down there, if not only do you lose – but their season is saved somehow, and they go on some kind of run. Like we do what the then Redskins did for the Giants when they were about to be 0-3, and Liddell Betts got stopped four times inside the two-yard line, then they went on to the Super Bowl. Like, do you ever think about stuff like that? I do. I think about those sorts of things all the time. Like, I don't want to save anyone's season. Let's take all the nails and rap on the coffin.
I thought I was doing the show with Danny Ruhier today.
Yeah.
I didn't know Milton was co-hosting.
Well, you know what's going to happen. They're going to lose. Someone will get suspended probably for touching Sidney Crosby.
Tom Wilson is back from a suspension, so it might be him.
Well, yeah, they voted most likely to be suspended in high school yearbook, apparently.
He will return. That's big.
Yeah, don't look at Sidney Crosby. Don't look at him wrong. They'll suspend your ass. And that goes for anybody in the arena. They'll kick you right out.
Good news is this is not one of those nationally televised Caps-Pens games where you got to hear about Sidney Crosby.
Oh, that's all. Sidney Crosby just exhaled through his right nostril, that's all. Never seen anything like it down here on the ice. Oh!
You wouldn't believe it. He just passed the puck to a teammate. Oh, that's the craziest pass I've ever seen. The puck was on his stick, and then he pushed it toward the teammate, and the teammate got the puck. No one's ever done that before, Edzo.
Guys, in between shifts down here, as he's catching his breath, a woman was in labor. He helped deliver the baby, guys. Oh! Oh! Some guy needed a hot dog. He slapped it up to him with the curve of his stick, his stick blade, Edzo. Oh!
Joe Beninati will
good
be
guys,
on the call
please. Now
on Monumental Sports tonight. He joins us, by the way, in 50 minutes, right at 3 o'clock before he heads over to the building.
Now, you're talking to a Joe B. guy. I'm a Joe B. and Locker guy. Thank goodness we have those guys calling games for us. One of the coolest things we ever got to do was to go into that booth, and, you know, Joe B. standing up, you know, with the appropriate energy. He's prepared. He's a dynamo. Looking at Locker's notes. Still one of my all-time favorite things that you and I have gotten backstage access to. He made like a science fair project.
Well, the wacky about Locker's notes is he handwrites them all.
Yeah.
Big black
Sharpie. It helps him remember us, what he told
exactly.
us. Yeah.
Loose leaf paper. And so rather than just having something typed where he could like delete two numbers,
mm-mm.
enter the new goal total and print, He, every single game, will take that Sharpie to that loose leaf, spend a couple hours. It's an amazing, amazing prep that he does, and it's why he's a legend.
He's so great. Now, I love those guys, and I love when they're on my television. But this is a hypothetical. Just you and me in the red box with some mold and a leak over our heads. It's not a bit, by the way. There's a leak that's dripping down right next to us, and there's lots of air colds.
Ryan, anyway. Ryan, when we walked in, it was funny. I sat in my chair, and I'm kind of looking around like, all right, here we are.
Here we go.
And Ryan goes, you can't sit right there. There's a leak.
Yeah. She, and I was like, he Forrest Gump, you can't sit there.
Where do you want me to go? And he's like, either way. So you and I are straddling the little puddle where the leak is.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, is there a leak? Yes. Is it consistent? Yes. Does it drip often? Is it distracting? Yes and yes. Anyway, there's still tons of mold. But anyway, the point is, and it's unacceptable. This is a top six market.
Settle down.
No, I'm just saying it's unacceptable.
Are you happy to be at the ballpark?
Anyway, so the
guy, we should be at the ballpark. Danny also texted us. Let's be honest. A little bit of this is that you just didn't want to walk over. Because he texted
I was in the middle
us.
Of the walk. I was already walking.
Okay, but at two.
In the rain, I was walking.
Let me find my text.
It's about 1:16.
It was. Let me see.
Right, I'm walking over, and it was raining.
This is so good. All right, so Danny says, first you forgot your credential. Don't forget about that.
And thanks to our buddy Kyle for hooking that up.
All right, so at 1:16 p.m., text from Danny to the group chat. On my way over. Immediate response, I give you the little iPhone.
You emphasized it.
Emphasize.
Yeah,
like, here
we go. I felt important.
It's a copy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, 10-4, sir.
Yeah.
It's a copy. We
Roger
got
that.
2 minutes later, Danny. Hey, rain might be falling now. We sure we want to be at the field? Now, mind you, Ryan and I we're comfortable. Our computers are set up. We're ready to go. Danny is advocating for the packing up of shop and coming back over to that office. So is there a little bit of you not wanting to make the putt over on a chilly day?
So, again, I was already three-quarters of the way here
Okay. Walking
in the rain. So I know what a crazy person that would wonder aloud among colleagues. Anyway, there's mold here. So the point I was trying to get to, besides the mold, is I love Joby and Locker so much, and they're incredible. But what if I, as a consumer of the Washington Capitals and a hater of the Pittsburgh Penguins, I hope they fold and an expansion team comes and it's not in Pittsburgh. What if I wanted some sort of alternative broadcast? Like it's still the broadcast. Like, it's still the game. The leak just dropped again. It's still the game. It's still centered around the game, but it's like not your conventional regular broadcast. Like, if I wanted an option like that, do I have anything like that tonight?
I can provide one for you tonight.
You can?
I can. Only five times this season, and they're all coming up starting tonight with the big debut. Thank you for the ball on the tee, Daniel.
Yep.
The Monumental Altcast debuts tonight on Monumental Sports Network.
Here we go.
Second channel.
Let's go.
If you've got Joby and Locker on the main platform, click on over. It should only be one channel away.
All dead here.
And you can watch us watch the game.
By the way, for me, on my cable package with the old Cox, thanks, studio audience. They're so far apart.
Is that right?
Yeah. As Fred Smoot says, it's frustrating.
That is strange.
It's both that way for Masson and for Monumental. So, like, my alternative Masson 2, it's like 130-something. The regular Masson's like 57 or 53. The Caps, Monumental, it's like 57. And then, like, it's like a weird 119 or something like that. It reeks me.
I'm back in the DirecTV game.
What happened?
Guy.
The betrayal.
I had to.
You did not have to.
Turn around. You see the Nats Park?
Yeah.
It would be the last time I saw it if I didn't get.
But Ryan and Darius present, like, you had this other option. I don't remember which is which. And it's not like a Reddit stream from Finland.
It literally was that.
No.
That was the big option they provided.
No, Darius was like, Danny, I hate you. But in addition to that, it's not Reddit. It's like it's a thing with YouTube.Fubo or something.
No? I could have gotten rid of Fubo? YouTube TV and gotten Fubo. I could have.
Yeah.
I could have gotten one or two other things, but DirecTV, which I'd gotten rid of months ago.
Yeah.
Just in case, I had kept the dish on the roof and all of that, and you know, I.
Did
said,
they let you do that?
Yeah.
Were you supposed to turn it in, or they're you're just like, I'm keeping it?
I'm not really sure. I just kind of did what I was going to do.
I can't be bothered.
Yeah, I just kind of did what I wanted to do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So now the Nats, my friend, on my television, thanks to DirecTV.
That's a DirecTV customer right
so
there.
The channels,
long time and happy.
That's right. Channels are. I think 642 for the main one or something.
Uh-huh.
Used to be 641, or maybe that's Mass. I don't know. It's right around the
640. It's in there.
Look at the 640.
It's like a sports section almost.
Yeah, that's where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But it should be fun. Bruce Boudreau, Tarik El-Bashir, myself. We got Tressway coming on in the first period, bringing some energy, which
Tressler.
I'm fired up about that. It's going to be a great night, some good guests, so check out the broadcast.
Am I crazy, or does Tressler have a slap shot? Like, is that a thing that he could hit it really hard, or not, am I making that up?
I'll ask him, but I think that's made up. I don't think he's played hockey.
I could have sworn there was something where it's like, you know, I actually can hit it really hard.
I think he's got a baseball background. You know who his brother-in-law is? I think you sleep on this.
Yes, but I forget.
Bryce Terang from the Milwaukee Brewers.
He's got 6 or 7 steals to start the season.
He's off to a good start. I don't know how it worked. I think he married Terang's sister, not vice versa, but they're brother-in-laws. So I know he's always been big into baseball as kind of a second sport, but he's a huge Caps fan.
Yeah.
This is what happens. Like, it's very rare with the Commanders, but when you're here long enough.
The Tressler's been here a decade pretty much.
Longest tenured player on the team by far. It just becomes part of the fabric. You live in the area. You like the teams. You go to games. So I wanted to make him one of our first guests on the Monumental Lulcast.
Or you're here for years and you dress up in Vegas jerseys and look like somebody peed in the Cheerios. At Stanley Cup games. You could do that too. They're different options.
But you got to give Harper credit, right?
Of course I do.
I know that you
like. I'm making a joke.
Well, no. But here's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. You've got to give him credit because I know that you like that he learned his lesson. And now he's gone all in on his city.
The opposite way.
Because you can't possibly hate that he used to wear Vegas gear in D.C. and also hate that now that he basically paints himself like the Philly fanatic before every game.
No.
Clearly you're happy about his transition.
Well, that's a funny bit. I didn't have the animus that other folks did. That's where he's from, wearing a jersey from that team.
It sounded like you did a moment ago.
No, I was making a joke.
I was
being humorous.
You were funny.
Yeah, I was just funny. The thing that's mockable is the nonsensical, like, members-only Philly collage jacket thing, pretending that he's always liked it. It just, the human hashtag is struck.
Tonight will be fun. We've only done 2 rehearsals, quite literally. Like, that's it. And that's my experience with Bruce Boudreau, who's awesome and hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, what a fun, entertaining guy. But you know where he showed me something? He's told great stories, and, we've had a good time talking hockey and whatever. But yesterday, mid-second period or something, or a couple days ago on the rehearsal, I said to him, I'm like, have you guys seen the movie Four Brothers? To him and Tarik. Tarik does not see movies. Like, there's just if there's a movie.
There's no space for it.
He has not seen it, right? He's got a little Ryan Clary to him in that way. Bruce Boudreau's like, oh, absolutely, yeah, I love that movie. I just watched it yesterday. And I'm like, what? You just watched Four Brothers? He's like, oh, yeah. Tarik's like, what's it about? And to hear Bruce Boudreau, like Canadian former hockey coach, telling the plot, and he's like, oh, so the mother dies, and then these four guys are not really brothers, but she adopted them. No one else will find this funny, but I hope you do. Just hearing Bruce Boudreau talk about the plot of Four Brothers over top of a hockey game.
Yeah, because it's not dump and chase. It's not like Third Man High in the Zone.
I don't know why. It just popped.
A Mark Wahlberg flick. That's so funny.
And it's such a good movie that everyone sleeps on. I want to talk about the story that Bill Barnwell wrote on ESPN.com today about how easy it is to swing and miss at the top of the draft on quarterbacks. And, in fact, how likely it is when you pick up high that you are going to, and whether or not that should be a concern and a worry for the Commanders. We'll get into that next. We are live at Nationals Park on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondori and Murad, the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They will protect your assets, update your will and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Remember, in about 35 minutes, right at the top of the hour, we will be giving away tickets to the D.C. Defenders home opener, a 4 o'clock kick at Audi Field on Sunday afternoon. In fact, on Sunday, the Nats play at 1:30.
Yep.
Right across the street, the Defenders are at 4, so that's a double dip opportunity.
That's a double dip chance right there, yep.
The Capitals have a night game at home. The very rare, the never before been done by many of our listeners, I'd imagine, triple header in Washington, D.C. I've never pulled one off.
I've never done it.
That is the Gordie Howe hat trick of games. You could go to the 1:30 Nats game, have a little fun, walk across the street, go to the Defenders home opener, and then get out of there right in time to get over to Capital One Arena for puck drop for the Capitals on Sunday as they make their playoff push. That would be impressive.
Here we go.
Is planning on the triple header in D.C. sports.
It is a. I think it's supposed to be decent weather for that as well, which is a nice little factor.
Warm or just not rainy?
I think mostly not rainy. I thought it was supposed to get a hair warmer, but I could be wrong about that. Of course, we have a show meteorologist, the former Ryan Clary. But yeah, just shy of 60 degrees, which is not too shabby.
Don't
right?
hate it.
Get yourself to the salt line, grab a couple appies and a beverage or seven, get over to Audi Field, and go to the Caps game. I will be on a windswept field in the middle of nowhere watching my son play soccer, so I can't do the triple dip, but that is not a bad way to spend your Sunday.
Definitely more of a you're single without kids day.
Yeah.
Like if I was Ryan or Darius, I am in on that day. I'm just going bing, bang, boom.
Just go bing, bang, boom.
Knocking them down one at a time. 3 in one day.
That's a big day.
Never pulled it off. I've done 2. I have been at Nats Park and at Capital One Arena for a Caps game.
I haven't done a double dip since I've had kids, which doesn't surprise you, but it pretty much takes it away. But I did a couple double dips in my 20s, right? At the end, when the Nats first came back, I would do like an RFK afternoon game, then like Caps at night or like a Wizards game in the evening. I did a couple of those.
NFL draft quarterback conversation. On ESPN today via Bill Barnwell. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago, really smart writer. He points out the history of drafting quarterbacks at the top of the board, the likeliness of hitting on the pick, and asks a bunch of what I think are really good questions about how teams should be viewing drafting quarterbacks. But reading from his piece, he cites Field Yates of ESPN's most recent mock draft, Danny, 3 quarterbacks in the first 3 picks that has happened only 2 times in the last 25 years. In that same mock, Yates had a 4th quarterback at pick number 5. That would be first-time-ever territory. Uncharted, never before seen, if 4 quarterbacks go in the top 5. There's never been a draft where we have seen that, and there's a very good chance with the J.J. McCarthy noise and helium that we're going to see it in a couple of weeks.
I think it's very reasonable that it happens. I mean, it's both a quality class in terms of the guy up at the top, right? I mean, it's not just quality for this year. It's quality for year over year. I don't know if he's a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence was at this point, or talking about Caleb Williams, or Andrew Luck was, or some of the others, but he's thought of in among that ilk. A lot of these other guys, in terms of Daniels, in terms of May, and maybe even McCarthy to a degree, might be 1-1 or 1-2 in any other given year. So you've got depth in the class, and then there are a couple more wild cards, guys that were in college a little extra long, but you know, very productive in their own right in Penix and in Bo Nix. And the usual quarterback starvation applies. Everybody knows it's the cheat code. Everybody knows that if you get it right somehow, some way, however it happens, whether it's the second player that you drafted that year or Mr. Irrelevant or somehow in free agency or whatever the case is, if you have it, it makes everybody look smart. It makes everybody look good, and your key card gets to work for a long time, right? If you miss it linebacker, you miss it the right guard position, it'll end up being okay. It covers so many mistakes and a lot of bad smells in the building. It's ultimate cologne. So it makes sense to me that quarterback-starved teams that happen to be, A, at the top of the draft, B, teams that are within pouncing range to make some moves to get to that spot, this I could absolutely see the first 4 guys going quarterback and maybe even another one somehow borderline top 10, thinking about, again, that group that doesn't make it into the top 4 or 5, trying to pounce and take one, either 11, 12, 13, something like that.
If teams are just more desperate. Quarterbacks are now viewed with more import than ever before, and this is not a one-year aberration
right.
of these quarterbacks going so early in such high numbers. There were three quarterbacks chosen in the top four a year ago. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson were the three QBs. You think about that. Three in the top four last year. In 2021, three picks, all quarterbacks right off the top to begin the draft. Trevor Lawrence went to the Jaguars. Zach Wilson, who has not worked out with the Jets. And Trey Lance, a disaster with the 49ers, who's no longer in that organization. And they traded up from outside the top 10
oh, yeah.
to go get him. But there have been four drafts in league history in which at least five QBs were selected in round one. Two of them have taken place just since 2018. So think about that. It's happened yeah. five times ever. 40%, two of those times, just in the last 5 years, and we're about to see another one. So it's going to be three out of the seven times in history. So Barnwell's point is quarterbacks are being drafted earlier more often, but as he goes on to write, the hit rate is not changing.
Right.
Which just means more teams are going to miss inevitably, mm-hmm. right? I'll read from his piece. Quarterback has always been an important position, but this is a shift worth evaluating. Are teams getting too aggressive pursuing quarterbacks when the return has been players like Wilson and Lance? So let's just answer these questions kind of as we go in real time, because there's a bunch of rhetorical questions he asked here. The first one is, are teams getting too aggressive? I think the answer is obviously yes. When you have Christian Ponder drafted at 12 and E.J. Manuel at 16, and you just look at the guys that are getting taken, not typically in the top three, although that's who he's referencing.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky top three.
Top
yeah.
five, top eight, top 10, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's no different than you look to your left, you see Mahomes. You look to your right, you see Allen. You see what the teams with the QBs that have found the answer, that have the rookie contract, young quarterback, or the superstar on his second contract, and you go, those are the haves, where the have-nots. So that's where the desperation comes from. So to me, there's no doubt that teams are acting with more urgency and aggressiveness to get a QB.
Without question. And some would look at that as a negative. I don't. And philosophically, if, let's say I owned a team, right? It's Danny Harris over here. What I would say privately to my other owners and people in my executive C-suite is, we have a general manager because we think he's good. We think this guy's qualified, sharp, smart, all the right things, right? If he gets it wrong, I'll think that about the next guy. You know, like, he'll get a couple cracks at it, this dude. And if we don't get it, I have no allegiance to this current general manager structure. Guys, a lot of times, I think, in football executive roles, do things to be able to keep their own gig. I think that's true in a lot of sports. So, in other words, you don't want to swing and miss a whole bunch of times at quarterback, but that's all you should be doing, in my view, like organizationally. Until you have one, stop doing bridge things, stop doing the Carson Wentz thing, stop doing Ryan Fitzpatrick, stop doing Jimmy Garoppolo or Case Keenum or even, you know, Derek Carr to a degree. You swing for the fences every time. And if you don't get it, you're probably in a better position to get one again in a couple of years.
Yeah, it is possible to win without an elite quarterback.
Totally is. Absolutely.
It's just really hard.
Yeah.
And the proof's in the pudding. If you look at who has been in and won Super Bowls over the last 20-some years, you know, for every Flacco on a heater or Eli Manning who got hot a couple of times, for every Brad Johnson going all the way back to the earliest parts of the 2000s with the Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, there are five Brady or Manning appearances or you know, a handful of – there's whether it's Roethlisberger. I mean, it's Hall of Fame.
Since
you know, 1992. Greats in their era types.
Yeah, the modern era free agency, the really what I consider this now current modern era of the NFL. It's had different iterations and changed a lot. We've seen fads, things come and go. It's basically a who's who at the quarterback position in a given year. It's a Hall of Fame list. As you said, Rodgers, Brees, Manning, Brady, you know, Elway a couple of times in the late 90s, Aikman – Steve Young, it's the best to ever do it in a given era with everything going right for their team.
Here's the next question Barnwell asks in this ESPN piece. What has changed to make the league target quarterbacks at a higher rate than ever before? I think it's gotten harder in a passing league where the rules are designed around offense to win without a great quarterback. And it seems to me like in a previous era when Joe Gibbs won three titles with three QBs, mm-hmm. it was a little more, not, you couldn't win with a mediocre QB then either, but it was a little more plug and play, I think, where you could have Mark Rippon for a season, have a great year behind an amazing line, handing the ball off and chucking it deep, throwing it vertically to Clark, having Monk work underneath. But I think right now, in this era, we've just seen that the teams with the really good quarterbacks win the most. That's my answer. I don't know if that's too simplified.
No, it's. I think that's a huge chunk of it. Here's what it is to me. Roster turnover. Everything changes every time around players. Like, if you look at a guy that's a quarterback on a team for – look at Tom Brady. Now, that's the exception to the exception. But he's there for 20 years. He played with basically seven different, quote-unquote, Patriots teams. Smash mouth, ground and pound, great defense. Air raid, Randy Moss, you know, 25 touchdowns. Then another group that was based on two tight ends. Then something else in between. Like, teams morph constantly, and that constant of having a great quarterback means you're competitive.
Next question he asks, are teams foolish to get involved when there's a run on QBs in particular in a draft? Now, I think the average person listening would just respond yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't jump in on a run just to get one. I'm going to say no, I don't think they're foolish. I come back to my original premise. Do you have a really good quarterback or not? Because I don't fear missing. It's easy for me to say. I'm not the GM.
It's not my job, exactly.
Who's going to lose the job. But the whole point is finding the right one. When's the last time you won the lottery without playing, right? When's the last time you had a great first date without going on one? Mm-hmm. You got to go out on the dance floor. You got to get into the batter's box if you're going to hit a home run. So are you foolish to engage in a run on QBs? No, because it's an inexact science. So if you get the fourth one on your board, who's still a first-round talent as you see it, in this draft maybe that's McCarthy or that's Penix, mm-hmm. and you're the Giants, let's say, or you're the Broncos trading up because it's gone QB, 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 and you want to make sure you get the last one, I still think you're doing your team a service and you're doing your club a solid by trying to improve at the most important position.
At the risk of echoing you, 100%. I mean, to me, this is, if this was an exact science, okay, if Caleb Williams was a 9.7 and Jaden Daniels was a 9.4 and Drake May was a 9.6, you just take the next one and you plug and play and it's like a video game. It's not. If we acknowledge the fallacy in these professional evaluators getting it wrong constantly, then it leads to a pretty simple paradigm, but we don't, because these guys have egos and they trust their eyes and they trust this tape and they trust this one scout or this one coach who told them, hey, I guarantee that this guy is going to be great or whatever. And they make the selections based on that. That's the wrong way to do it. If you don't have one, take one. I really believe it's that simple. That's why it drove me crazy for all those years when you hear the defenders of Ron Rivera and company go, well, what if you didn't love the guy? I don't care. Take one. And you may be proven right, but what happens just as often is you're proven wrong. You might find somebody. If you don't have one, you're wasting your time.
From 1993, and that's when the NFL moved to an 8-round draft. It's now seven.
Now seven.
But 1993 to 2010, teams used an average of 8.5% of their overall capital in a draft based on the Jimmy Johnson chart value of each pick, right? So about 8.5% of what they had on the quarterback position. Since 2011, that mark has risen to 11%, which is a jump of almost 30% over just over the last decade. If you look at the last five classes, as Bill Barnwell points out, four or more quarterbacks drafted in the first round from 1980 to 2010. That's five classes with four plus over those 30 years. That's been the case five times from 2011 on, a number that should rise to six this year. So it took 30 years to do it from 80 to 2010, and now from 11 to 24 over a 13-year span, we're going to have done it half the time about six times. Mm. Question for you guys on the MGM National Harbor listener lines is, should this data, which suggests more quarterbacks get taken early, but there isn't a higher rate of them hitting, so in fact the risk is larger, should that affect how Washington feels about what it's going to do at number two? Does that make you more likely or inclined or more interested in trading back? Or do you just go forward sans fear because you need a QB and number two is the best chance to get a winner? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Top of the hour, 3 o'clock, we will give away tickets to the D.C. Defenders home opener. That's 12 minutes from right now. Make sure you're listening. Start up next hour, we've got those tickets for you. It's a four-pack, so you're bringing three of your friends. Also at 3 o'clock in 12 minutes, Joe Beninati. You know him from Monumental Sports Network. He is the face and voice of Capitals hockey on television over the last quarter century. He's going to get us ready for the best rivalry in D.C. sports. Renewed tonight, Caps-Penguins. I don't think that's a hot take anymore. When I first started suggesting that, I would get a lot of pushback for, at the time, Redskins-Cowboys.
Yeah, because that was.
They've since changed their name. Commanders-Cowboys doesn't have quite the same ring to it, but I digress. I think it's pretty easy at this point. It's Caps-Penguins. That's the best rivalry in town.
It's got the venom. It's got the hatred. It's got the history of
the two great players that have been head-to-head since day one.
Exactly, and it's always nationally televised. That was a huge part of that Redskins-Cowboys rivalry, was that the winner probably won the NFC East, you know, some of the Giants years notwithstanding. But those games always were magnified, always against really good teams, both really competitive at the top of the deal. The road always went through the NFC East, right? Well, that was gone for a long time because Washington, frankly, was a second- or third-tier team, haven't been very good, even though, you know, Dallas hasn't enjoyed any postseason success. Washington hadn't enjoyed any kind of success, postseason, regular season, except for the preseason. Larry Mike always used to remind us their preseason record. But, yeah, I think it's Caps-Penguins because those two guys, right, have been at the center of it.
Talking about the quarterback position and just how much things have changed over the last several years as teams are now taking QBs way more often early in the draft than they used to without a higher hit rate, and whether or not that is a mistake. 800-636-1067. Does it give you any more pause about Washington getting ready to call a quarterback's name at number two? Let's go to JD in Alexandria on the fan. What's up, JD?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
My two cents with that is, if you already have a quarterback who you're sold on, move back, grab whoever you want, you know, figure out your priorities. But if you don't have a quarterback, grabbing a quarterback at number two puts you in position to be so much more sure about that pick who you're grabbing. And I think that there is zero chance you can move away from that number two overall pick with any other position but a quarterback. And before I go, just wanted to say there's no Irish goodbye here. Danny, Grant, thank you for your time. I'll see you guys next time.
That's a great bit.
You're a sweetheart.
That's tip of the cap on that bit. I didn't know where you were going, and then you got there. That was good.
Doing it the right way.
That was good.
Saying goodbye to your pal.
There's no Irish goodbye here.
Very good.
Ooh.
I view it as almost mathematical. Right. In my mind, picking a quarterback at one gives you the best chance to get it right. And then two's worse, but better than three. Three is worse, but better than four and all the way down the draft. So a first round pick is more likely to hit than a second, than a third, and so on. And so is Bill Barnwell's math correct? Of course. Is his take that it is really difficult, and is it increasingly because more QBs get taken and the hit rate isn't necessarily higher? Essentially, your percentage of getting it right is getting lower because more teams are more desperate.
Yep.
All that's true. I still think taking one at two instead of trading back and getting the fourth guy off the board gives you a better chance at getting a great young quarterback. Taking one at two instead of going, let's just say, back four picks to take a tackle and then finding your quarterback at 36, hoping, let's say, Bo Nix is still there, I think you're better off picking between all the QBs you like, not named Caleb Williams, rather than just being handed the last guy, Bo Nix, at 36. And that's why, to me, it still makes sense, and it is still a necessity when you pick this high to try to get it right then and right there.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. I mean, to me, there's a huge variable in this, and that is the situation that the player is going to. I talk about this all the time. There are so many guys that we view as punchlines that we think are just that are jokes, and you know, they're thrown out as examples of why you don't draft a quarterback, etc. Well, they went to a bad organization, a desperate need of lightning in a bottle that had no preparation, probably a bad owner, and everything else. So now we laugh at David Carr and Akili Smith and E.J. Manuel and a million other guys, but they were decent prospects at one point. A lot of these guys were, right? So there is some credence to saying, because this is inexact, we're going to get one of these highly rated guys. Adding a few other pieces to supplement and help them is not crazy to me. I'm staying at two, by the way, and taking one, but I wouldn't hate going to five for the sake of argument and ending up with the quote-unquote fourth-rated guy in a class and picking up more things.
I think in a lot of years I would be more inclined to do that. This year I think the quality of the QB you can get at two is higher than normal. This is not, and maybe you could say this is hindsight, but even at the time, Wilson and Lance is not the same to me as the quality of May and Daniels. Mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to throw McCarthy into that against, I don't know who the other guy was that year, Mac Jones or Justin Fields, yep, or whatever it is. Like, this is a better group at the top, and I think the fall off isn't as extreme in the top five, but it gets pretty quickly there's a cliff, you know, after that. And if you miss, you're in big trouble. And I just wouldn't risk that. Joe Beninati joins us to preview the Caps and the Penguins tonight. A gotta-have-it game for the Caps as they try to punch a playoff ticket down the stretch. Plus, we're giving away D.C. Defenders tickets to their home opener at Audi Field on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. That's next on G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.